You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
We all know how important it is to keep your eye on the money, and not just your own. Stay on top of the latest financial and market news with Yahoo Finance, a podcast that releases new episodes almost every day. You'll hear a brief overview of the biggest news in the financial world, all in 3 minutes or less, right after markets close. Check out Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts. That's Yahoo Finance wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass News. I'm Ben Mathis. Hey folks, is your Mac computer running slower than usual? Well, if it's over a year old, then it's already filled with junk that's slowing it down. Thankfully, there's a safe, free download called FreshMac. Designed to scan, clean, and optimize your Mac computer, FreshMac can speed up your Mac and free up hard drive space in minutes. That's right, its one-click scan can tell you what's clogging up your Mac in just 60 seconds. So freshen up your Mac and go to FreshMac.com to download FreshMac for free now. That's FreshMac.com. And now, enjoy the podcast.
In this era of fake news, these are the men and women who deliver great news.
Tune in tomorrow night when I go undercover as an ugly person.
Like, who is Snapchat? Is he one of the minions? And are they all Pokemon?
My body is a temple, and by that I mean I let a lot of Jewish guys in.
Oh, I've been busy producing a news piece. Unrelated, do you know how to produce a news piece?
Back to you, Chuck.
What?
Great News premieres Tuesday after The Voice on NBC.
Hi, I'm Ben Mathis, and welcome to Kick-Ass News. That was a clip from the new NBC comedy series Great News, which follows the behind-the-scenes antics of the cast and crew of a fictional cable news show called The Breakdown. It's created by Tracy Wigfield, who wrote for 30 Rock, and executive produced by her fellow 30 Rockers Tina Fey and Robert Carlock. Great News stars a stellar ensemble cast that includes Briga Helin, Andrea Martin, John Michael Higgins, Nicole Richie, Horatio Sanz, and Adam Campbell, who leads the news team as the dashing, albeit uptight, executive producer of The Breakdown. You'll no doubt recognize this British-born actor from such films as The Five-Year Engagement and the film parodies Date Movie and Epic Movie. He starred in the CBS miniseries Harper's Island and the ABC sitcom Mixology. He's also had memorable guest roles on NCIS, Two Broke Girls, The Comedians, Dice, and Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. Today he'll talk about starring in the NBC comedy that's being described as 30 Rock meets CNN. He'll discuss some of his British comedy inspirations and the certain style of humor that is particular to his hometown in England. He'll talk about being a British expat in sunny L.A., his thoughts on the news these days, and how Great News creator Tracy Wigfield may have drawn her inspiration from when she started out as an intern at CNN. Plus, Adam and his wife, actress Jemma Mays, had a bit of a scare on their flight back from the U.K. That and more coming up with Adam Campbell, star of NBC's Great News, in just a moment. You know Adam Campbell from movies like The Five-Year Engagement and the parody movies Date Movie and Epic Movie. He was last seen as Andrew Dice Clay's agent on the Showtime series Dice, as well as recurring roles on HBO's Hello Ladies, Netflix Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and NCIS on CBS. He starred in the CBS horror miniseries Harper's Island and the ABC sitcom Mixology. Now he's starring with Briga Helin, John Michael Higgins, Andrea Martin, Horatio Sanz, and of all people, Nicole Richie, in a new NBC comedy series from the creators of 30 Rock. The show's called Great News, and it premieres Tuesday, April 25th at 9, 8 Central. Adam, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me.
And like a true Brit, I see that you brought your own tea.
I did, and it's not because I don't trust the way that you would make it. It's just I've got a little bit of a cold, and it's special tea.
I wouldn't trust myself to make a cup of tea. I can't trust myself to microwave a hot dog. So.
But you have a pocket square in your blazer, which indicates to me that you have a degree of sophistication. Oh,
okay, that's very British.
Yeah, that's right.
Very Savile Row.
It is, exactly, yeah.
Now, I was just reading that you were coming back from the UK, and I saw on Twitter that you and your wife, Jama Mays, had a bit of a scare on your flight back. What happened? You didn't get dragged off of a United flight or something, did you?
No, we didn't. We held onto our seats. We were the ones who weren't dragged off. Actually, it was terrifying, but the great thing about the story is that everyone's okay. Our little baby, we got a seven-month-old, and he got very sick 2 hours into this 10-hour flight, and I can talk about it now because it happened a week ago, but it was extremely harrowing. Turns out he's totally fine. There was a doctor on board, miraculously, who had seen what was happening before and just really talked us through it. And thankfully, the lad's all right. It was just Jama and I still had sort of 8 hours left on that flight with our minds reeling and, you know, head spinning, but thank God he's fine.
So what was it, a cold?
It was actually, he had a very high fever, and for some babies, when their fever spikes, they can have a seizure.
Oh.
And so he just, out of the blue, just had a seizure. And I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen any baby have a seizure, let alone my own one. And the staff on this Virgin Atlantic flight were just incredible and took control. And this guy was on board who was an ER specialist from England who'd worked with kids, and just immediately, you know, when a professional kind of shows up and knows what they're doing, it immediately just calmed us. And there was talk of turning the flight around or landing in Iceland. And anyway, it was all fine. And so the rest of the flight was, we wanted to land and get him taken to the doctor. And thank God he's totally fine. And
now you've been rewarded with you and your wife both getting this cold, huh?
Yeah, now we've, so the little...
No good deed goes unpunished.
No, that's right. And so we're getting our just desserts. But thankfully everything's okay. Yeah.
So that really works if you ask, is there a doctor on the plane?
Yeah, funnily enough, like the first call, there was no one on the plane who was a doctor.
Oh.
And then they called again, and this guy, he hasn't been a doctor for 4 years, so he hadn't renewed his license, so he didn't want to be misleading, but he also wanted to be available. So thankfully he kind of stood up and took control, and then we hassled him for the next 8 hours, saying, is this normal? Should he be doing this? And the poor guy didn't get much rest.
Now, do you go back to the UK often?
We do, yeah. I mean, my family's over there, back in Bath, and my brother lives in London with his three kids, and so we go back whenever we can. But it's a bit, with a kid now, it's just a bit more difficult.
Yeah,
and
I'll bet.
We're now like dealing with a baby that has jet lag, which is just the least fun thing
in
the world. And you're not supposed to drug them to sleep. You can't give them Tylenol to sleep unless they're sick. So we're not allowed to do
whiskey?
That. Whiskey's not even allowed anymore.
Oh, really?
Apparently, pediatrics, they don't administer it quite as much anymore.
Bath is a lovely place. I've been there. I toured the baths. What is it? The Royal Crescent?
That's right.
The little lawn there with all the what would you call those, brownstones, townhouses?
They're Georgian. Bath stone. It's limestone. It's kind of sandy. It's beautiful, isn't it?
We were just back,
and I was like, why did we leave this town?
Yeah.
And then
and that's Jane Austen country, right?
It is exactly. Yeah, it's exactly Jane Austen country. It is beautiful. But LA is beautiful in its own way, isn't it?
We have some things going for us. Better weather, certainly.
Better weather. Better
is that all we can come up with?
No, I'm kidding. There's LA. I love it. No, this is home for us. We couldn't be happier here.
Yeah, how long have you lived here?
It's about 12 years. And Jama is probably about 13 or 14.
Wow.
And never the intention for me to be in Los Angeles, but it's become home and I love it.
Yeah, what was it like growing up in Bath? Is that a pretty idyllic childhood? Can you get into trouble in Bath?
Growing up there, obviously you don't really appreciate, that you'd walk home from school seeing nothing but Georgian architecture.
Mm-hmm.
But then growing up, you're still just a kid, so it's just everything's kind of depressing and you don't want to be there. But then coming back as an adult, you think this is just stunning. But it was great. Yeah, it's a great town to grow up in. It's where it's got a great sense of humor. The West Country humor is just the best. Just
Dude, tell us more about that. What is the West Country humor?
Well,
is that a literary humor, or what are we talking about?
It's like it's a heavy heavy irony, sarcasm. Mm-hmm. There's actually a show just out on the BBC called This Country. And it's set like right near Bath, where I grew up. And there's these guys in it. I don't know. You obviously watched The British Office. There's that kind of accent. Do you remember Gareth's accent?
Yeah.
It's sort of a bit like that. And he kind of talks like that. And that's what the West Country accent sounds like. But this humor is growing up at school there. It's sort of,
I mean, I know British humor. I have a general – I appreciate British humor.
Yeah.
I used to love watching Jeeves and Worcester on the BBC stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Monty Python. Is there like a regional type of humor in the UK
I'd
too?
Say the distinction is the Bath humor is – there's no way you can have any confidence in yourself. People will knock it out of you, but in a very funny way.
Yeah.
So there's no bragging without you being, you know, heavily criticized and mocked for weeks. It's quite stifling, actually, in that sense that you just never get above your station.
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? there's one I was obviously trying to be an actor when I was a kid, and there was it was in the 90s. There was I had sort of long blonde floppy hair, and for some reason the local newspaper decided to do a little article on me looking a little bit like Leonardo DiCaprio. Right. Now, I didn't look much like him at all, but they put on the front page of this newspaper, the headline was, "What's he doing in Bath?" And it was a photograph of me looking not very much like Leonardo DiCaprio, but covered in acne. And for the next 5 years, I would walk around Bath and people would just come up to me and say, "You look nothing like Leonardo DiCaprio, mate. Who do you think you are? Why are you saying that? You think you look well nice, don't you? You don't." So I didn't ask to be on the newspaper. But anyway, it's just horrific if you get on the wrong side of the West Country lads.
Well, you know, I wonder if that sort of goes back to Jane Austen, kind of this sticking it to the upper class and mocking the silliness of affectations and so forth.
That really could be true. Yeah. It's certainly if you have a remotely posh accent, you do get kind of bullied.
Yeah, and you've focused more on comedy than the traditional Shakespearean route. Did you grow up admiring Monty Python, Benny Hill? Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah, so it was, for me, I would just watch Blackadder just endlessly. And I would just learn the scenes. And he also did, you know, quite a lot of stand-up then and did sketches and stuff like that. So Rowan Atkinson was kind of the funniest person I'd ever seen. And then it went from that to... the early 90s was like Armando Iannucci started doing satire and radio shows. This guy called Chris Morris, who's just probably the funniest living man, I think. Steve Coogan kind of came out of that with his character Alan Partridge. So me and my friends would just watch that, you know, on repeat. And then after that, it was I suppose The Office really came out, and then we all watched that. But
So you grew up as a fan of British comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Did you always kind of feel that you wanted to go more in that direction than the serious route?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because it's just what I would watch. I tended not to watch dramas and things. I wanted to watch funny stuff. But then I eventually went to drama school after I went to university. I studied drama first at university, and then after that, I thought, well, I actually really do want to be an actor. And it just seemed like you need to go to drama school for various reasons, but not least to, you know, it's an easy way of getting an agent once you've been to drama school. So I did that in London for 3 years.
Yeah, you studied at a pretty serious place, the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. Now, for the listeners, this place is no joke. I mean, some of the fellow alums there were Sir Richard Attenborough, Kenneth Branagh, Albert Finney, John Gielgud, Anthony Hopkins, Vivian Leigh, Peter O'Toole, Omar Sharif, and Alan Rickman, just to name a few.
Yeah.
Was that a pretty competitive, tough place to go?
It was extremely competitive to get in. And then once you're in, it just felt like... it felt like a dream. You just couldn't believe that you were in the same building as, you know, some of those names you'd mentioned had trained. And, you know, it still pumps out some amazing actors, like Tom Hiddleston was the year below me, who's obviously huge now with his various movies and TV stuff. There's a whole load of great actors that have still come out of there. And I loved it. I made some of my closest friends there. It was someone said, you know, when we first started at RADA in the first year, they said, make the most of these 3 years because you might never work as consistently as you're about to work in these 3 years. And it's true, you're kind of you're acting every day. And actually, as a professional actor, you don't get to do anywhere near that much work. So I loved it. I really loved it.
You know, there is a conspicuous lack of Shakespeare on your resume. Your teachers at the Royal Academy don't give you a lot of crap about the movie spoofs or sitcoms.
It's funny. They've kept quiet about it.
Have they?
No one's contacted me or asked me to come back and give a masterclass. So maybe I'm not doing the right stuff.
Well, you're working and they may not be.
So. Right. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Well, they always say that comedy is harder to do than drama. Do you find that to be true?
I do think comedy's really hard. And part of it is because I think is that, you know, when you find something funny, it's hard not to oversell it. And this is something that I really struggle with, is like making something too big. Like if you read a funny bit on the page, you're like, oh, that's so funny. And you just like overdo it and you just kill the joke. I feel that like really good comic actors just have this ability to do the joke and not kind of labor it.
Yeah.
I find that really difficult.
Well, luckily, the show that you're doing now, Great News, kind of lends itself to big comedy, much like 30 Rock did.
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard to be too big in that kind of atmosphere where the jokes are absurdist to surreal sometimes.
Yeah, they are. That's right. Yeah. That's a good description of them. This show definitely has like some of that 30 Rock silliness and weirdness, which I really loved. And, you know, there's elements of Kimmy Schmidt in that as well. But it's, doing a script that has been... I mean, the writing is just fantastic. Like there's just a joke after joke after joke. There's so much crammed into 22 minutes. It was a joy to be part of it. And the whole cast felt that. I think we all felt extremely lucky to be able to do something that was so well written.
We're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back with more with Adam Campbell, star of NBC's Great News, when we come back in just a moment. Support for today's show comes from FilterBy. For many of us, springtime means that allergy season is in full swing. And if you're settling for an ordinary, out-of-date filter, not even your home can provide an escape from allergens. Thankfully, FilterBy offers a wide selection of high-quality air filters in every MERV rating, including an AFB Platinum filter that captures allergens as small as 1 micron. Not to mention, FilterBy offers over 500 different sizes of filters, as well as custom sizing, so you can find a filter for your HVAC unit no matter what its dimensions. Better yet, all orders ship within 24 hours direct from FilterBy's U.S. factory to you, so you get the best price possible. No middlemen, no markups. Even shipping is free within the continental U.S., plus changing your air filter regularly can help you keep your energy bill down and your HVAC unit working properly, saving you more money in the long run. So breathe easy with a filter you can count on from FilterBy. Now, for a limited time, our listeners can even get a 10% discount by going to filterby.com/kick. That's FilterBy, spelled B-U-Y, .com/kick for 10% off your new air filter. And now, back to the podcast. Great News has quite the pedigree. It's executive produced by Tina Fey and Robert Carlock and created by Tracy Wigfield, the same writers behind 30 Rock. Do you like the comparisons with 30 Rock, or do you think that's a lot of pressure to put on a brand new show?
Well, I think it's inevitable, you know, because the show comes from Tina and Robert. But Tracy Wigfield, who created Great News, she wrote on 30 Rock and on the Mindy Project, and she actually won an Emmy for her episode on 30 Rock. But it's really her thing. Like, it's not 30 Rock. Tracy just kind of made this show really about her relationship with her mom. And she has just an amazing voice. She's just a supremely talented girl. But also is acts in the show as well. So she's,
episode. Oh, she's in the show?
As well.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
She has a recurring role. She plays Beth, the weather girl.
She's great. That's a great part.
Mental, who kind of hints at the fact that she can control the weather with her mind and has a long braid down to her knees.
Yeah.
But she's just a brilliant actor. And also,
I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess my simplified elevator pitch for Great News would be it's 30 Rock meets CNN. But tell us a little bit more about the show.
So, yeah, as I said, it really centers around a mother and a daughter. The mother is played by Andrea Martin, and the daughter is Briga Helan. And they have a very close relationship. It's a little too close. They're a little too stifling of one another. Carol, who's Andrea's role, has really collapsed her life into looking after and protecting her daughter, Katie. And she goes to church one day and hears a sermon, and she kind of misinterprets the sermon as telling her to start her life again and pursue her dreams. It's never too late to pursue her dreams. So she wants to get a job in news media, and she ends up getting a job at the same place as her daughter, Katie. And so it's really about that relationship. But then, of course, it becomes a workplace comedy because it's about what life's like in this cable news show called The Breakdown on this fictional network called MMN.
Yeah, and I was interested to read that Tracy Wigfield apparently started her career as an intern at CNN. Have you guys asked her what this is based on from her experience, or how much of the anchor Chuck is based on Wolf Blitzer, maybe?
Right. Well, there are comparisons with Chuck, played by John Michael Higgins, to Wolf Blitzer, definitely. I mean, Tom Brokaw as well, the idea. They kind of used him as a reference because Chuck maybe was once like Tom Brokaw, but has now been relegated to this pretty crap news network. And he would say it's because of industry ageism, but actually it's because he's not very good. But he's just struggling to maintain some degree of relevancy in this world, and he just can't. Like, he doesn't understand. He can't keep up with technology. He doesn't really know how to email, and all his pop cultural references are just wrong or embarrassing. And then that foil is Nicole Richie is the other news anchor who is.
Millennial Instagram generation.
She's not interested at all in the news, but more interested in like promoting her own brand. And those two are just completely just wonderful as a pair.
Now you play, I guess, the executive producer of the show. Did you have to shadow a news producer or do anything to prepare for that part? Or because it's a comedy, you don't have to worry too much about the authenticity of the part.
No, there wasn't a lot of research. I'm no Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah.
They put me in a suit occasionally, so that helped. I play Greg, who's it's kind of up to him to get this show going, and he's got this huge burden to make a show every single day. There's a one-hour show that they have to air, and the struggle is like, well, first of all, is finding news stories in New Jersey, and it's just like trying to dress a non-story up as perhaps a piece of news.
Yeah.
And the other thing is like he's just surrounded by people who he can't control, not very effective producers, and these news anchors who are just nightmarish.
Yeah.
And he gets flustered very easily. He's a bit like a toddler. He gets grumpy and just feels this great pressure to impress his family, who've kind of given him this business, and he wants to prove to them that he can do a good job. But at every turn, he's foiled.
But when I watched the first episode, I was expecting your character to turn into sort of the villain or the foil, because that's always
that
how it is
got
when
a
there's
British
a
accent.
Whenever there's a Brit who plays the boss or something, inevitably you end up being the bad guy. But,
no, that's right. He's not a bad guy.
Not really in this case.
He's just. Nor is he sort of winning either. He's kind of mocked continuously throughout the show for being small, for not being manly, for being weak, for wearing children's clothes. They even say that he doesn't have any genitals. That's one of the references. It's basically all the stuff that kids use.
Is that true?
Yeah.
No, you have the baby to prove that.
I do. We think I'm the father.
Yeah.
But the writers do tend to mock you, like mock all the cast members. They'll really hone in on some stuff that you might find personally offensive, but they really go there in every episode. People are kind of mean to each other.
Yeah.
But the jokes get network approval, so it all gets on the air.
Now, do you watch much news yourself? Are you a news junkie?
Not, you know what, this year, because of the baby.
Fake news.
Ordinarily I'd have been lapping up the election, but we just both Jamer and I were on shows, and then obviously the baby. I think we kind of just ignored it a little bit, And I get just so frustrated by the news, I'm afraid. I find it really depressing.
You know what happens when you ignore the news, right?
What?
Brexit, Trump.
Yeah, I know, it's true. I know, I should be
That's
more...
That's on you.
I should, you know, respect my civic duty a bit more. But I think I don't know enough about it, but I do think the news has polarized us. Mm-hmm. I don't think the division between red and blue is quite as stark as we're told it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just from meeting people. I've met a lot of Trump supporters and they're not these villains. And I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I think it's far more like shades of gray than we're kind of allowed to believe.
Yeah.
About.
Yeah. And that's one thing that I like about great news is it doesn't seem to necessarily take a political position. It doesn't try to hardcore mock or attack either Fox News or MSNBC.
Right.
It's all in good fun. And
yeah. And Tracy said, she goes, I don't really know enough about politics to make this a heavy satire. But also when we were filming it, we didn't know who the president was going to be. So we couldn't be relevant at all. I mean, I suppose it does mock the 24-hour news cycle thing. The fact that we have to find news every day.
Yeah.
It does comment a little bit on the fact that, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes there isn't anything newsworthy.
Yeah. Like, I watch MSNBC. You have to fill that void with something.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I watch MSNBC sometimes and there'll be two headlines, like North Korea's, you know, threatening, there's a nuclear mm-hmm. threat. And then another headline will be, old lady grows the biggest carrot. And like, that's a news story. It's like, well, you've got to find something if it's 24-hour news.
Well, what is British news like? I mean, I guess I've seen BBC, but has British news succumbed to that same sort of sensationalism we have here?
I haven't been watching it for
10 years. Oh, that's right. You've been here for 12 years.
I think it's probably taken on that. I mean, it used to be that you'd have the news show at 5 o'clock and it was about an hour and it was mm-hmm. concise and respectful and there was no sort of soundtrack and no weird graphics. It was just the facts and it was incredibly dull. But there's something about that I really miss because now it's like a dog and pony show.
Yeah.
Dog and pony show, is that the phrase?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, that's an Americanism. Yeah. Dog and pony show.
Yeah.
The swan and chicken show.
Well, I always loved the British phrases.
You
guys have the best phrases for everything, I think.
Go on, give me an example.
Your phrases for sex. Sprog and what else?
I haven't heard that one.
You haven't? Well, that must be the eastern side.
Okay,
maybe that's not the West Country.
We don't talk about it. We're British.
Yeah, yeah. Give her the old how's your uncle.
How's your father?
Yeah,
that's right. How's your father? How's your uncle is something else that was illegal until a few years ago.
Oscar Wilde.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
I wonder, what about the British tabloids? You know, those British tabloids make us look ridiculous here.
It's shocking. Like occasionally I'll maybe click on a few links. Yeah. It's stunning what they get away with printing.
Yeah.
And it seems that they're just continually in litigation, I think.
Seems like it.
Yeah, I don't know.
Rupert
but
Murdoch.
People, there's an appetite for it. People lap it up.
Now, your wife, Jama, also has a series debuting, I guess, within about a few weeks of your show, also on the same network on NBC. Is there any kind of a friendly rivalry?
There's always a friendly rivalry.
Yeah.
It's just a hate-filled competitiveness, I suppose.
Yeah.
Jama's show is called Trial and Error with John Lithgow.
Right.
And it's just wrapped up. They did 13 episodes.
And that's not a comedy, right?
It is a comedy. No,
it is a comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Funnily enough, it's a comedy. It's on NBC. And it actually, Great News is taking over their time slot now that they finished right after The Voice.
That's got to hurt.
No, not necessarily. Well, maybe for her. I don't really care so much. But it was a really funny show, Trial and Error. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely brilliant. And it kind of mocked that The Making a Murderer and mm-hmm. The Jinx, that kind of thing. It was kind of
mocking those kind of murder
documentaries.
Yeah, and you two have a newborn. How do you balance both having a TV series and a baby? That's got to be a hectic schedule.
We haven't really figured it out yet.
It
was a nightmare and we haven't slept. And we relied pretty heavily on parents.
Mm-hmm.
And just leaving the baby in the car with the window cracked. But now the shows are coming out, there's a bit of downtime, mm-hmm. so we've been able to be parents again. And it's been really fun.
Almost all of your acting work has been in American TV shows and movies. You didn't want to go the BBC route in the UK or what?
Well, actually, my first job, I was at drama school. I got this job that was out in America. It was a pilot for the then WB network. And I thought, well, actually, my dad said to me, you know, where would you rather be an unemployed actor? Would you rather do it in Los Angeles or London? Which I thought was a very sage question. I thought it was a really smart thing to ask me. And I thought, well, yeah, I may as well try living in LA for a bit. And then I just never left. So I've never worked in England, actually.
Really?
Yeah. And I think my parents would probably love nothing more than for me to do a sort of a BBC Dickens adaptation. I think that would be their dream. I don't know if anything I've done out here is exactly their cup of tea. But I've been loving it. I've been really enjoying myself.
Yeah, but you don't get a knighthood for an NBC sitcom, you know.
you certainly don't. Well, we'll see when there's a new monarch.
Yeah, there you go. I have to figure that it's hard to be a British actor trying to make it in Hollywood. It seems like it's probably very easy to get typecast in this town with a British accent.
Oh, totally, yeah. But I don't mind. It's kind of nice to be typecast.
Yeah.
I think most of the time, you know, I go in for roles that aren't really written necessarily British. But if it's comedy, I really try and go in with a British accent because it's so hard to do comedy in a different accent. I think with comedy especially, I kind of have to keep my own accent. But with drama, it's slightly nicer to do an American accent.
Actors seem to live in fear of ever being typecast. But, you know, when I look at all the old classic Hollywood stars, you know, Humphrey Bogart, Clark Gable, they were all typecast. They played the same role in every movie, and they did quite well with it.
They were really good at their type, you know. Yeah. So I suppose there's an advantage at some point.
I have a friend. Her name is Claire Bullivant. She has a podcast called Brits in the Wood, and it's all about British expats living here in LA.
Really?
It's interesting how tight the British clique is in this town. Yeah. And, you know, they all seem to hang out for some reason in Marina Del Rey in Santa Monica.
That's right.
I don't know why.
They do. But. Yeah, I don't know why. I think any expatriate community likes to be with one. There's something comforting about, you know, eating the same food from England and moan. It tends to be moaning when Brits get together. They sort of moan. Yeah, I mean, I do it.
What do they moan about?
Oh, just like. Well, they'll talk about England as if the glory days. They talk about this sort of an unreal image of England that it isn't really like that anymore. And they say, they don't know how to make tea out here, do they? And they, have you tried? No one makes proper chips out in America. And just sort of these, but they love it here. Come on. They're Brits living in LA. It doesn't get better than that. It
doesn't rain.
Stop moaning. It doesn't rain. You've got parking everywhere. It's brilliant.
Do you have a British group of friends, a group of expats that you hang out with to keep you from getting homesick?
I do, yeah. There's quite a lot of us living out here now. And I do take comfort from hanging out with English people.
Now, are you a monarchist or an anti-monarchist?
I respect the royal family a great deal. And I think they do a huge amount to bring tourism into the country.
You say that like there's a gun to your head.
Well, there is a metaphorical one. Okay. No, I think the Queen's brilliant. I think that all the pageantry and stuff, I think it's excellent. Yeah. Come on, without that, what is England?
Yeah.
I'm really on board with it. Again, I don't really know what I'm talking about, so I'm sure someone can shoot me down for that blasé statement. But I like the Queen, and I like her helmet, her crown.
Her crown, her helmet, her hat.
That she wears. It is
a hat. Queen hat.
It probably is bulletproof.
Yeah, and your character Greg comes to America to make something of himself, you said, and impress his estranged family back home.
Yeah.
How about your real family? Are they pretty excited? Were they always fairly supportive of you going into acting?
Yeah, my dad's an English teacher, retired, so he was always taking us to the theatre and stuff. And obviously, they were really excited when I got into drama school. But I think they probably had an expectation that I would, you know, stay doing Shakespeare and doing sort of slightly higherbrow stuff. And then I don't know. You kind of go where the work is.
Yeah.
And I've really enjoyed doing comedy in America.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Maybe it's not quite their thing, but that's okay.
So you don't see yourself ever playing Hamlet in the West End?
You know, I would absolutely love to. I'm blonde, so that's helpful for that.
Okay.
But that's about it.
Brexit, thumbs up or thumbs down?
I
know now that you've admitted that you don't watch very much news and keep up with anything.
Again, this year, I'm
put him on the spot again.
I'm sounding pretty dumb, but I've got family who are for it and family who are against it. Yeah, selfishly, I wish we stayed in. I love the fact that you could, with a British passport, go and live in France for years on end, and that obviously won't happen much anymore. So selfishly, I think it's a real shame. However, I know that the Brexit lot did it for a reason, and I'm sure there's valid, you know, reasoning behind that vote. But look, yeah. See how kind of diplomatic I'm being?
I was just going to say, if acting ever doesn't work out, diplomacy might be your thing.
Yeah. I could do it. Yeah. Anyway, I'd say on the one hand, but also on the other hand. Okay, there we go.
Yeah. This is good. You belong in the news.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
saying I'm spineless, basically, aren't you?
Well, you aren't British.
Right, that's true.
Sorry. We love to rub that in your face, you know, 250 years ago and whatnot.
Remember, we did used to own you, we can own you again.
That's right. Probably more likely now than ever before.
Yeah.
Well, once again, great news premieres Tuesday, April 25th at 9, 8 Central on NBC. Adam Campbell, thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. Cheerio.
Cheers.
Just a reminder, as weather warms up, it might be time to start thinking about changing your air filter. Thankfully, FilterBuy offers a wide selection of high-quality air filters in every MERV rating. And with over 500 different sizes of filters, you're sure to find a filter for your HVAC unit. And now, for a limited time, get 10% off when you go to filterbuy.com/kick. That's FilterBuy, spelled BUY.com/kick. Thanks again to Adam Campbell for joining me on the podcast. The series premiere of Great News airs tomorrow, Tuesday, April 25th at 9, 8 Central on NBC. For more information, including behind-the-scenes extras, visit nbc.com/great-news and follow Adam Campbell on Twitter at Adam Camp Belly. That's right, Adam Camp Belly. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass News on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. Don't forget to take our listener survey. It only takes 5 minutes at podsurvey.com/kick. You can visit Kick-Ass News on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Kick-Ass News Pod. And be sure to recommend Kick-Ass News to your friends on your social media. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickassnews or click on the donate button at kickassnews.com. As always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickassnews.com. For now, though, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass News. Kick-Ass News is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.